While growing up surrounded by the red dirt of the outback Australia, Tanya Heaslip dreamt of castles, oak trees, fairy doors and adventures that could only take place a half a world away. As an adult, she decided to follow those dreams, travelling to Europe and falling in love with the Czech Republic amid a drastically changing geopolitical landscape. Tanya's book, Alice to Prague, tells her story, including how she was in Berlin as the wall fell.
We just entered this space of complete and utter celebration. It was freezing, it was grey, it was a really desperate sort of place. The Berlin Wall itself was confronting and huge and, you know, barbed wire, and yet all around there were people celebrating, hacking out the wall with their hands and hammers, dancing on it, drinking champagne, all these little Eastern European cars beavering through Checkpoint Charlie, sort of escaping. It was life-changing, and I thought, oh, now I want to know what's on the other side of that wall.
It did take you a couple of years back in Australia before you got back over there.
Yes.
And you spoke with a gentleman called Peter Barr who had spent some time in Eastern Europe, and he encouraged you to take the step of teaching in the Czech Republic. Now, what did you know about the Czech Republic on that first time that you sat down and had a chat with Peter about this potential trip to the other side of the world?
Well, really nothing, to be honest. This was only 4 years after the wall had fallen, and there still wasn't a lot of information available to the West back then about what was beyond the wall. I mean, I knew of Russia and I knew of Moscow, but all these other countries in between, I didn't really know much about, so I just soaked up everything Peter Barr had to tell me, like this was the next big adventure.
What was it like being in a strange land without language, without that proximity around you?
It made me realise what it must be like for refugees coming to Australia, that sense of complete alienation. And I realised that language is the key. If you don't have language, you are so far back from being able to engage in any comprehensive way with a society, with a culture, with people. And of course, I hadn't realised that, and it was very confronting.
So were you feeling isolated when you arrived?
So isolated. There was no social media, of course, there were no mobile phone. There was no way of communicating with home except by letter, and then the school had a fax.
How did you start to make those connections?
I think the main thing was music. I discovered in the absence of language, music is a universal language. It's a universal theme of connection and hope, and folk music and country music right across the world is similar. I found in the Czech Republic there were lots of similarities in some ways to the outback, because they had folk tunes based on the themes of growing up on the land and connection to the land and connection to people. They played music everywhere.
I wanted to ask you about being in the Czech Republic and being in Prague through that time when there was so much happening geopolitically and that part of the world was opening up to the West. Were you watching how that was impacting people?
People were quite polarised. There were those who were already nostalgic for the olden days when the Soviet rule controlled everything and they didn't have to worry about making money and putting food on the table and finding jobs and being paid to live. That was all taken care of. It might have meant that they lost many other liberties, but they didn't have to worry about survival. So in their spare time, they made music and they were very involved in sport and their countryside, and their culture was so important to them, and it thrived. Ironically, when everything else was provided for and taken away from them, when communism fell, of course, there was an economic vacuum, a political vacuum, although that political vacuum was quite quickly filled by the wonderful Václav Havel, the great, you know, playwright and dissident who was made president. And then they had an economic dry, Václav Klaus, who was the prime minister. So you had left and right. Between the two of them, there was a political and economic stability for those years, all things considered. But for the average person in the street, it was incredibly difficult.
What's your reflection now on Europe, on what's going on there and the varying degrees of political ideology across that continent, which are emerging even right now?
I see Europe struggling terribly to reinvent itself, to cope with the wave of immigrants and refugees that they've now had. Countries like the Czech Republic are still fairly insular. One of the things that was really difficult for them, which meant that they were constantly invaded and occupied, was that they're smack bang in the middle of the continent. So they had no port or ships to protect themselves with, or lovely big mountain ranges, or they do, but you could get through them. They had no natural protective barriers, but they have maintained their Czech culture very strongly, and that still obtains today. And they haven't felt the impact that places more accessible like Germany and, say, Belgium have. But they are struggling with who they are in this current environment, and there are many, many pulls back to Russia. There's a huge split, really, between those who still consider Russia Mother Russia and those who think, well, the West is flawed, but we still can't go back to where we were.
Tanya Heaslip, author of Alice to Prague, with a few of her reflections from Eastern Europe as the world was changing.